NBC Monitor, news on the hour. This is Bill Lindsay reporting. An Air Force transport is airborne from Clark Air Base in the Philippines en route to Hanoi to arrange for the release of the next 20 American prisoners. The advance reception team should reach Hanoi about midnight Eastern time. An hour later, a C-141 airborne hospital will arrive to pick up the 16 Air Force and four Navy men. They should be back at Clark Field about 5 a.m. tomorrow, again Eastern time. The last 20 of the 143 men released so far returned to California today. There is no official word on the condition of the final group, but they appeared to be weaker than those who arrived before. Henry Kissinger's third day in Peking was unexpectedly concluded by a conference with Chairman Mao Zedong. Kissinger spent 2 hours with Mao in what's described as a frank and wide-ranging discussion, but the subjects have not been revealed. The White House indicated today President Nixon plans no further action on the dollar crisis beyond his devaluation order. Special presidential aide Peter Peterson has arrived in Paris for 4 days of talks on the international money and trade situation. A report from NBC News correspondent Lloyd Dobbins in Paris.
The devaluation of the dollar is one of those events that seems to strike most Americans as a great deal of fuss about very little. German cars cost a bit more, so do Japanese television sets and French wines and perfumes. But the house payment doesn't go up, the grocery bill stays about the same, and buying clothes is no more financially painful than it was before the devaluation. The painful part may still be ahead. When the Andrews sisters recorded the song Rum and Coca-Cola in the 1940s, foreigners, we were told, were working for the Yankee dollar. They aren't anymore. Now they work for the German mark or the Japanese yen, and neither one of those rhymes with Coca-Cola. The dollar has become a weak currency. Americans are too willing to spend their dollars on vacations in Europe or for television sets made in Japan, so there are more dollars outside the United States than anybody wants. Until that situation ends, until other people want dollars to spend in the United States, the money men, the people who are supposed to know about such things, say the dollar will be weak, like the so-called monopoly money that American tourists in Europe used to laugh at. And that may be the painful part ahead. Our own affluence may make us financially laughable. Roy Dobbins, NBC News, Paris.
Negotiations are continuing tonight to end the St. Louis teachers' strike on the basis of a new $1 million subsidy from the city. A break in the deadlock is hoped for this weekend. The Food and Drug Administration said it's found a poison that produces botulism in the institutional-sized cans of mushrooms produced by the United Canning Company of East Palestine, Ohio. The FDA is recalling more than 29,000 cans and alerting places that use the large-sized cans, such as pizza parlors in the Midwest, about the brand names and the codes of the lots involved. The FDA today closed down Chicago's largest private methadone treatment center for drug addicts. The FDA said records and inspections indicate regulations to prevent methadone abuse have been broken. Dr. Jordan Scher, whose clinic treats more than 500 addicts a week, says his greatest concern is for them.
I just hope and pray that the authorities that have seen fit to make these steps humane enough, humanitarian enough, and considerate enough to understand what this means to the patients, so that if they're concerned about imminent hazards to the safety of patients, they've certainly created an imminent hazard by cutting them off, as well as perhaps a hazard to public safety by cutting them off, in that some of them, out of desperation or whatever, might return to crime, which they haven't been involved in for some time.
Dr. Scher claims the FDA charges are false. The FDA says the addicts can be treated at 28 other clinics in Chicago. Three American tourists looking for flowers on the Grand Bahamas Island today found 4-year-old Andrea Spencer wandering near an abandoned country church. The youngster was still wearing the same clothing she wore when she was kidnapped by three gunmen who invaded the home of her father, a Canadian banker, Thursday. Police say Andrea apparently had untied the bonds with which she had been held in the church and got away. The lineup of top U.S. diplomats in the Far East is expected to change shortly. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State William Sullivan is apparently tabbed as the next ambassador to the Philippines. Graham Martin, now ambassador to Italy, is reported under consideration to succeed Ellsworth Bunker as the chief U.S. spokesman in Saigon. Senator Edmund Muskie says he will insist the Senate thoroughly investigate the political activities and decisions of L. Patrick Gray in last year's campaign. The president today said he will nominate Gray, now the acting FBI chief, to be the permanent director. Muskie said he has heard rumors that Gray engaged in partisan political activity. The Maine Democrat said the FBI director must be above any taint of politics. The Hour's lead story, the advance team to arrange the release of 20 more American prisoners is now en route to Hanoi and should pick them up in about 5 hours. Bill Lindsay, NBC News.
Three minutes for Ferrante and Teicher on monitor. Their version of American Pie. Would you like ice cream or cheese on yours, sir?
And welcome. I'm Tony Taylor. Well, a lot has happened on the money front this week. The stock market went wild. The dollar was devaluated. We learned that the price index for food was up. My cashier at the supermarket told me. And, well, you knew it in the first place. So here we are, paying as we go. But you get the feeling that we're kind of going nowhere? Well, on to better things. Elton John, affectionately known as that madman from across the water. And the Crocker Rock. I beg your pardon. The Crocodile Rock.
Crocodile Rock, well, Crocodile Rock, a song and shout.
Hurt himself singing like that. Elton John and the Crocodile Rock. Most of the country is very cold tonight. One saving thought. 2 weeks ago, the groundhog did see his shadow. There's only 4 weeks left. You got to look at the positive side. Our resident psychologist, Dr. Joyce Brothers, receives quite a lot of mail from Monitor listeners who are concerned about certain problems. And here is a reply to one of the letters.
A young girl writes, "Dear Dr. Brothers, recently I had an abortion. And ever since then, I find I've been so depressed I don't know what to do. It's not that I regret the abortion. It's just that I feel totally turned off men. I'm 19 and I'm willing to enter a college like my parents want. But I want a small, cozy college, not the big one my mother attended when she was a girl. At this point, I'd be happy to settle for a girls' school where I don't even have to talk to boys. Post-abortion depression is not unusual. Abortion is an emotionally traumatic experience for any sensitive woman, so it's not surprising that you should take time to heal. Your attitude toward men will undoubtedly change if you give yourself sufficient time. Doctors James Egan and Eugene Mahone interviewed a dozen teenagers who had had abortions a month earlier and found that many felt a lingering sense of guilt and that this was often responsible for physical symptoms such as headaches, insomnia, and general depression. Sometimes girls became less interested in sexual activity and felt less enjoyment in sex. A number of these teenagers felt a deep distrust of men and a general sense of bitterness. Probably the best thing you could do now is to enter college. This will not only help to take your mind off of your own problems, it will prepare you for your future and enlarge your choices for a career. I wouldn't hesitate to explain your feelings about your preference for a small school to your parents. There's some evidence that large schools increases students' sense of alienation. Dr. James Coleman, professor of social relations at Johns Hopkins University, holds that the quality of a high school education decreases as the school's size increases. For some students, the same can be true of college. Many students need to feel the warmth and affection that they're able to get in a smaller school where there is much more personal contact between faculty and students. In many large schools, teachers never get to know students by name because there are simply too many. Students also don't feel that they can turn to a teacher for help or guidance. Many of the conclusions from Dr. Coleman's report were supported earlier this year in two books published by social scientists at Harvard University. Your parents might be interested in this report, and it might serve you well as a point of argument. Don't be too concerned about your attitudes about men at the moment. Once you become interested and involved in new courses of study at whatever college you choose, you'll find that, in time, your feelings about the opposite sex will return to normal. In the meantime, try to remind yourself that men, like women, are individuals, each with very different attitudes about almost everything. Don't make the mistake of generalizing about all men. They aren't all alike any more than all women are alike. Don't allow yourself to be pushed into any dating until you're interested in going out with a particular boy. There's nothing wrong with not dating, and it may give you time to catch up on some thinking and some study that you might find exciting and entertaining. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
Thank you, Dr. Brothers. Joyce, I'm having a wonderful time tonight. Why is that? Well, anyway, it's 16 minutes past the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon. Paying attention? We're back. Tony Taylor for Monitor. And if you're one of the 5 million Americans who travel by motorcycle, you probably have a lot of bugs on your teeth. No. If you're racing for pleasure or profit, we'll hear about the latest in helmet protection coming up in a few minutes. Music tonight. Well, it's Saturday night. You must fool around a lot on Saturday night. You need an excuse? It's Saturday night. Light sings the fifth dimension. dimension. Light sings all over the world. If you ride a motorcycle, you are aware, I'm sure, that head injury is the primary factor in a high percentage of motorcycle fatalities. That percentage, by the way, is 90%. In New York State, fatalities over a five-year period were reduced by 48%, and that has been attributed to a regulation requiring motorcyclists to wear helmets. So far as the safety standards of the helmets themselves go, efforts are being made to impose stringent regulations on a nationwide basis. And sports editor Len Dillon talked about that with Russ March of the American Motorcycle Association.
Russ, you're the executive director of the American Motorcycle Association. What is it?
That's a good question. American Motorcycle Association is a twofold organization. We have amateur and professional racing that goes on throughout the United States 12 months out of the year, approximately 8,000 amateur events and 1,000 professional races. And we race in all parts of the country, the Houston Astrodome, Madison Square Garden, Roosevelt Park out here in New York, for example. Then, in addition, we represent 200,000 users of motorcycles and their interest and their needs as it pertains to the motorcycle sport.
Now, safety, I know, is always a big factor when it comes to bike riding. What's the problem with safety now in helmets?
It is a question, Len. It's a question that involves us in professional racing all the time, of course, because the man that's on the track has to have the safest product available on his head. In addition, we want the amateur racer to have the safest product on his head that's available. But in addition, you've got the man on the street, and you've got over, 5 million of them now in America riding. And you have to make sure that the safest products are available to these people that are developed out of the racing area. And it's a concern right now to make certain those helmets are available to the general public.
Isn't the federal government trying to establish a federal standard for helmets?
Yes, they are. Right now, the government is targeting for March 1973 to establish a new standard that will go into effect at that time. That standard will basically say what all helmets manufactured in the United States will meet. And that's good, because that establishes a testing standard then, and the federal government, under its powers, then has the right to test helmets and make certain that they do meet that standard, all of them that are produced and sold in the U.S. And if they don't, they have the right to go back and fine those companies or put them out of business. And they have established this with the automotive people.
How much does a helmet cost, the average helmet?
Well, they vary. $19.95 to $39.95 would be the general average price.
I've got a red, white, and blue job here that's rather big and shiny and very attractive looking. What is this, and what's it made of?
That'd be a $29.95 helmet there, Len. It's a polycarbonate helmet, injection molded. Now, this one, you see, has lightning stripes and stars on it.
Right.
They're just every imaginable thing. Many of them designed by women designers who are trying to make them attractive to the individual.
Right. I'm going to drop this and see how it sounds, all
right?
Go
ahead.
It won't break?
No.
Okay,
no.
Here we go. Ow. I wouldn't want that to land on my foot.
If your head was in it, oh, you'd be very happy.
Yeah, maybe you're right. We've been discussing safety and the regulations concerning the use of the helmet by motorcycle riders, either in racing, professional or amateur, and or in public transportation. And our guest has been Russ March, the executive director of the American Motorcycle Association. Russ, thank you.
Thank you.
Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, I'm going to play the last song a little early. Well, I got my Harley double parked outside. And Edward Bear. The last song. I think it... Well, did you tell the innkeeper it...
Did you know I'd go to sleep and leave the lights on? Hoping you'd come back. Come looking for the light,
last song, Edward Bear. Before we have a little bit of This Is My Song by Paul Moriart, let me remind you that a portion of what you give to the Heart Fund goes to keeping you informed, to let you know how to take care of yourself and your heart. So make your contribution, your next one to the Heart Fund, a healthy one, and make heart health your number one cause. Paul Moriart. Now, This Is My Song. It's a short song. Taylor here. Stay on the line. I'll be back after a very short break. I must tell you that the next 5 minutes on Monitor, we're using a bit of psychology on you, and to good purpose, we hope. Our music is Peaceful, Easy Feeling by the Eagles. And I Feel Good by Doc Severinsen. You've got to like it. Therefore, you got to feel a whole lot better in 5 minutes. Right? Huh? Wrong? I don't know. I've only been in your country 2 years. What do I mean?
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown. Sleep with you in the desert tonight, with a billion stars all around. 'Cause I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down. 'Cause I'm I get a peaceful, easy feeling.
Friend, you can be in a sun-kissed world or a snow-kissed world, and it makes no difference whatever. Monitor gets to you wherever you are in the USA. I'm Tony Taylor, your host, and what's Saturday night at Monitor without a lot of good new music? We have it for you by Oliver, Dusty Springfield, and Gilbert O'Sullivan. Ah, I'll tell you. No, well, let me tell you. What we'll do first, though, we'll open with a nice oldie by Oliver. Then, when you hear his new one, you can see for yourself if the young man from North Carolina is working on something different or not. Who'll ever forget this song? You will? No, you can't. How could you? Went to number one? Was from Hair? Ah, come on. You can even sing along, I bet. Good morning, Starshine.
Good morning, Starshine. The earth says hello. You twinkle above us. We twinkle below. Good morning, Starshine. Good morning, Starshine. So happy to be my love and me as we sing our early morning singing song. Blitty gloop gloopy, nibby nabby nibby, la 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 lo lo. Dabba sibby sabba nibby abba nabba lee lo lo.
Number one. That was then, and now is now. Brand new for Oliver. Everybody, I love you.
Prayed to find a new another way. I don't want to hurt you, take your breath away. I just want to tell you what I feel today. You got to hear me when I say, everybody, I love you. What more can I do or say to make you know I feel this way? Look only for the good in what they're saying. Don't listen to the fire and the brimstone. The truth is simple if you find it in your heart. And you can find your way if you know just where to start. It starts with you, God's people gotta hear me when I say it. Starts with you, God's people gotta hear me when I say it. You understand, and the one real religion is the one within your heart, and you better make damn sure you got the horse before the cart. And the truth is simple if you find it in your heart, and you can find your way if you know just where to start. It starts with you, God's people gotta hear me when I say it. Starts with you, God's people gotta hear me when I say it.
I love you. Well, he's changed. Is it a hit or a miss? Huh. Call us at Trafalgar Center. No, I... but it's good. Let's go to another new one. Here's a lady I'm crazy about. Dusty Springfield. Ballad about a breakup, or one that's about to come, or who gets your love after I've left, and who's going to pay the rent at the first of the month. And I hate to drink alone. Why can't we go on? I love meeting like this. Oh, Dusty Springfield.
In your sleep, you've been talking.
Dusty Springfield. It's called Who Gets Your Love? The Milkman? No, I don't know. Sorry about that. Well, we have some more coming up. More newies for you. We'll see if we got hits or misses or whatever. They'll be coming up in a couple of minutes right here on the Monitor Beacon.
WSG AM and FM New York. It's 14 minutes before the hour of 10. Stay tuned for the music of Saturday at 10.
Again, it's Saturday night at the Big M, and as far as the rest of the show goes, the M is for music. Gilbert O'Sullivan. An interesting name. People kind of snickered a little bit when his name was first uttered in the airwaves. He has the same manager as Tom Jones and Engelbert Humperdinck, and when this fact became known, people stopped snickering and listening. Alone Again Naturally, the first one. Gigantic record. Number one, million seller, all those accolades. And then along came Claire, which was kind of different. And now, along comes something brand new. It's called Out of the Question. Well, let's listen and see if it is Out of the Question.
One minute you say you will, and the next you won't. One minute you want me, and the next you don't. You're turning me upside down, giving me the wrong. Joe.
sorry, of course, but the fault is hers. I'm doing my best, and I don't know why. I'm giving her a call, and there's no reply. She's getting me down till I can't get up. She's giving me hell, and if that's not enough, she's breaking my heart nearly every day. Not only in pieces, but every way. I'm sorry, of course, but the fault is hers. I'm doing my best, and I don't know why. I'm giving her a call, and there's no reply. She's getting me down.
I'm not sure. I wonder what's on the other side. that wasn't nice. Gilbert O'Sullivan. Well, it's called Out of the Question. Maybe yes, maybe no. Well, we have another new one. The Drifters. Good heavens. They've been around for so long. This is brand new. You Got Your Troubles.
I see that worried look upon your face. You got your troubles and I got. Found somebody else to take your place. You got your troubles, and I've got mine.
You got your troubles, you got your troubles.
I too have lost my love today. And I wonder why. You got your troubles, and I got mine.
You got your troubles, you got your troubles.
Now you need some sympathy, well, so do I. You got your troubles, and I got mine. She used to love me, that I know. And it don't seem so long ago. That we were walking, that we were talking the way that love.
Seem to me, my friend, that I ain't got no pity for you. Well, that ain't true. You see, I lost my little
girl. I too have lost my love today.
The Drifters. Oh, gosh. Someone just said old groups to old material. If I could borrow a line from Henny Youngman's sister, thank you very much. Now, they have been around for a long time, and that song was a hit, 1965, by a group from England known as the Fortunes. Possibly it's due again. You never know. History repeats itself, because you weren't listening the first time. That's why. I have to explain all these things. Now, let's have one more. We got time for an instrumental, and there's a motion picture that, well, it's, as they say, a hot ticket. So far, there are 18 versions of the theme music from this motion picture out, and someone told me the other day that there possibly will be 40 versions. The music, though, is that good because, well, it's brought out of retirement Herb Alpert. and his Tijuana Brass. The Last Tango in Paris. The movie may be rated X, but, well, we guarantee the music won't offend anyone of any age. The Tijuana Brass. The Last Tango on Monday. Tijuana Brass, title song from The Last Tango in Paris. Oh, gosh, you just flew right by the time. That wraps up this evening, friends. Hope you enjoyed it. I did. I'm Tony Taylor. And next week, Cindy Adams and some fabulous guests on Saturday Night Monitor. Well, let's see, for one, George Burns. Stay for the news. And good night till next time.